The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 15th of December, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. Well, good morning. Very important news. Tuesday, the 28th of December, will not be a public holiday. I was a little confused there. Y'all really wanted like three whole public holiday and two semi holiday all in the first, you know, in like 3 weeks? That's just too much fun and skylarking. We would never recover. The country would never get back on track if we took all of those days of vacation off in a row. And we know this. How do we know this? Because historically and culturally, we know that the most devastating part of a hurricane, besides the loss of life, is the recovery period. The dysfunctional, in fact, I know people who tell me now that I am more afraid of the recovery period post a hurricane than the hurricane itself. So you know, after a snap election call in the middle of hurricane season, in the middle of a pandemic, and in the opening of the school year, that we cannot take any more slapping up. We got to go to work. We got to start the year 2022 on the right foot, the correct footing. I got some more things in the news this morning. I have a very important question to ask. Why do stationers, bookstores, and business centers not open before the people who, the businesses who primarily use their services? You know, it would be great if, as a teacher or a student, I was short on supplies. I knew that on my way into work or school, I could pick up the supplies that I need to start the day. These things should be open from 7:30 at the very least. What if I'm a breakfast vendor on the road and I have to go make a, you know, I have to get out there, but I ran out of receipt books and was unable to pick up new ones at the end of the day yesterday. Are we truly centering the people that we're supposed to be serving in our businesses and in our services? I really don't think that we are. I think that we messed this one right up. I want to say good morning to the gas truck that almost hit us this morning on the roundabout, Nassau Street roundabout. Nobody but you and Jesus knew why you were flying through that roundabout in a gas truck. But in case you forgot, because I understand this is what's happening for most people. Most people forget that they're in a commercial vehicle while they're driving. In their minds, they're still driving their little car, their little push-push. they forget that they're driving an 18-wheeler or a jitney or an SUV taxi or a gas truck. But I'm going to say it again, and maybe I am going to say it every morning. Aren't we paying entire departments of people to monitor traffic, to enforce traffic controls, and to devise policy to keep up with the ever-changing dynamics on the Bahamian road? People are getting paid for that. A few days ago, the Minister of National Security was talking about the use of CCTV in the fight against crime. And I just want to say that we could have been using CCTV in our traffic enforcement protocols. Now, I know a lot of people can't see the connection yet because a lot of people can't see themselves as being the offenders that I am talking about. But it's like we as a whole have a problem with the word stop. We have a problem with boundaries if they are not our own. What we're seeing on the road is just a manifestation of behavior taking place everywhere. We like to ignore the epidemic of child abuse. We are in crisis. We have generations of adults who are non-functional and worse yet, dysfunctional, because they have been unable to process the trauma that they've lived through in their youth. From mere simple, what seems like innocuous, just early introduction to sex and sexual culture, right? Over-sexualization in the home, in the schools, in the community, for that is child abuse too. Straight up to being expected as minor children to sell your bodies to make money to support the household. You hear that cracking in my voice? I'm remembering real stories that have been shared with me. See, we have a problem with the word stop. We have a problem with the word, with boundaries. But more importantly, we have a problem with the idea that somebody else could tell us what to do. That somebody would dare to moderate our behavior. We are more upset at the person shouting stop at that stop sign than we are at the person that ran the stop sign and almost hit our car. I had to run some errands this morning the whole way from the eastern end of the island to Nassau Street, even on the port. Even on the port. See, I keep trying to make this link between traffic and the movement of people, goods, and services. At this point, we can't tell what is destroying our country, whether it's incompetence or malfeasance, whether it's corruption. See, but I believe that people who can't do their job is incompetence. People who can do their job and refuse to do it, I think that's corruption. And two quick examples. I don't know at this point, ain't nobody could tell whether it's incompetence or corruption that have led us to these places we are in. You just look at the head of today's Guardian, Carnival decision today. Ministry of Health will decide whether to allow event. And then we get a statement from the Minister of National Security saying he has asked his ministry's legal team to look at the question of whether permission is needed. We will seek the advice of the Office of the Attorney General before taking any enforcement step, he said, outside of cabinet. Hold on, yesterday? Yesterday is when y'all realized you needed to seek clarity? No. Yesterday? The same thing with the travel visa. Was it yesterday that you realized there was a problem with the travel visa platform? Was it yesterday? People have been crying out for y'all to fix the platform for months and months from 2020. And another group of people have been inconvenienced because of a non-functioning platform? Come on, man. We've got to do better. We have just got to do better. Why? Because y'all are being paid to just do it. We don't even demand that you do it well, you know. You're being paid to do it. Let's start by just doing it first. Let's just start there. Anyway, if you have had issues with the travel visa, I don't see it in today's Guardian yet, but definitely there is a number to call if you're having problems with the travel visa platform. I'm so glad I mentioned that yesterday in the news. I am so glad that I mentioned that. I'm really trying to advertise my competitors, right? But I think there's definitely an article in one of today's papers that will give you more details if you have been having issues with the travel visa platform, if you have been required to print, even though the platform is non-functioning and the program has been discontinued. Help and hope is on the way. I'm going to read a few texts and then we are going to take a break and I will bring in my guest for today. First text, Aaron, it's the law that workers are entitled to their public holidays. It's the law. So will the government pay workers double for working since those of us who work bank hours can't get our day back? Aaron, trust me, it starts with the small things. It absolutely starts, I could be honest with you, it absolutely starts with the small things. This is not where it started, though. Let's be honest. This is the result of us not paying attention to the small things. Another text. Yes, Aaron, the business need to snap out of the lockdown era. Time to get back to work and customer service. Discipline, lack of responsibility, and ignorance is the order of the day. It's true. We need to do better and stop placating to the populace when wrong is perpetrated. No matter whom is at fault, law and order is missing. Definitely. And look here, I know where we live, you know. We live on a plantation. I know where we live. And so at the very least, I am just asking people to moderate their behavior, particularly when it impacts other people. Not talking about the choices you make in your personal life. At this point, that's a different discussion. Just begging people to moderate their behavior when it has a direct impact on other people, like traffic and politics. Another text, Aaron, I have an issue. We talk about over-sexualization of children, yet we encourage men and women to embrace their sexuality, especially women. They can come out their house naked, post obscene videos online for the sake of human right and liberation, and yet we wonder why our youth are promiscuous. I think you conflating a whole lot of things there, Texter. That's like when you mixing them up, like they sound similar, or like they sound like one leads to the other, but it's not quite so. Right? We ask men and women to embrace their sex. Like, understand who you are. Understand why you feel the way that you do and you relate to other people the way that you do romantically and intimately. Right? That's what embracing your sexuality is about. It's about not lying to yourself. There's a difference between sexual orientation and sexual behavior, right? I think it's unfair of you to try and conflate women who want to feel safe in their environment, no matter what they wear, right? With an agenda to just be naked all the time. I think that's a bit unfair, but thank you, Texter. And it's something we should talk about. Another text, hey, Aaron, the bookstore is only the half of it. Why are the public libraries closed? Listen, we already know that we don't care about poor people. What you need a library for, and you got Amazon. An Audible, order book. Buy book. Why is UB library closed? Was it closed before the end of the school year? Any entity to develop yourself is shut down in this. Why? That's another whole conversation. Good morning, Miss Green. There is so many things that is happening in the country, and all you can talk to is Carnival. Think out the box. We want to hear the same thing all day. Why, thank you, Texas. I do have a show lined up. But I didn't just talk about Carnival. I also talked about the travel visa. I also talked about the lack of traffic enforcement. But I don't know if you see that there's a similarity to something that keeps popping up here. Something that keeps popping up there. I just want to know if you see it. Another text, great show as usual. You forget mediocrity is order of the day. We need a holiday between October and December to break the long no holiday span. Maybe we have a holiday every month. I'm loving it. New Year's Day and recently Majority Rule Day are the two in January. Christmas Day and Boxing Day are two public holidays in December. Yeah, yeah. Right, so that's two and two. That's like four. That's like eight. Just day off. Just do whatever. And I'm not saying that people don't deserve holidays. The laborers, the workers, they deserve it. They absolutely deserve it. The people who are getting paid to provide services and they're not providing it, they don't deserve it. Anyway, producer, let's go to a break because I do have another conversation today. Joining me is Alicia Wallace from Equality Bahamas, and we're having a 16 days of activism wrap-up because a number of people hit me up and let me know, y'all only like to talk about these issues when they're in the news. Y'all not serious about them. So we're bringing the conversation back to you. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock. We'll be right back.
The best time of the year.
The holidays are always a beautiful time with family and friends, and this Christmas ought to be no different, especially since we know that vaccinations prevent most people from getting serious complications from COVID-19 or even dying. Vaccinations also allow us to protect ourselves and the most vulnerable, like the elderly or persons battling comorbidities like cancer, HIV/AIDS, and chronic illnesses like diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, and kidney disease. This Christmas, let's get back to the things we miss, like being able to visit family and friends, parties and indoor dining at our favorite restaurants, and gatherings to celebrate the new year to come. We can have these moments again by taking the simple step of getting vaccinated and abiding by the safety protocols of wearing masks, hand washing, and social distancing.
Say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet.
Persons wishing to be vaccinated should visit the website vax.gov.bs. The Ministry of Health and Wellness also encourages persons to announcements on when a pop-up vaccination center will be hosted near you. This message is brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority. The Public Hospitals Authority, working together for best quality healthcare.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
Thank you.
morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh new smart talk all day. I left one caller hanging on the line before we went to that break. I'm going to take that caller quickly. Then no more calls. I got to until I introduce my guest. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, Sparky. How you do?
Right, then. Now, Ms. Green, I must say something. Back in 1994, when we begged the powers to be to free up the radio station, and original people, they called chronic callers like myself, JT, and Pauper, and all the bands, and all those. When we started out, everybody used to call us all kind of ill names. Years later, they still
call us. Sparky, one second, Sparky. Are you calling to express displeasure with the lack of access to the airwaves today or recently by callers into shows?
No. I'm calling to complain about the service you were talking about a little while ago. So let me talk about the service then. Okay. I've been trying to do a venture with a banking institution since in May of this year to start a little project that I wanted to start. A little business.
Sparky, I can be honest with you. You want to do something with a bank right now? You got to marry somebody in the bank. You got to be married to somebody in the bank to get somebody to pick up the phone. That's the best advice I could give you.
But can I state my situation?
I mean, I understand what you're saying, Sparky, but yes, we're talking about 16 days of activism. I was just putting some commentary in there before I go into this other segment. It's not really a show about the horrible service provision in this country. I will do a show about that. But you just want me to run hard this morning, not on you. But you just
let me give me a chance. All that chance you would go, then I could have done finished what I had to say.
You got 30 seconds and then my producer's cutting you.
I've been dealing with a situation where a banking institution caused me to do appraisal on my house twice and paid for it. Being told that I'm going to be answered within a week or two whether I'm going to get the loan or not. Come to find out, it's December, get no answer, went back the other day, heard that the person that was dealing with me is no longer with the bank. They can't find my appraisal and everything, and the manager now tells me the situation has been refused. And they was about to call me, but every time I call the bank, I talk to somebody in Jamaica, and I try to talk the bank right on.
All right. Thank you, Sparky. I appreciate what you're saying. Ain't no fussing and fighting on the radio. But I think I summed up your point very quickly. If you want to get anything done in a bank in the Bahamas, you got to be married to somebody in the bank. That's why I tell you I didn't want to go there, because I'm all in my feelings about this, about the lack of adequate, professional, decent customer service in this town. We ain't got time to talk about that today, man, Sparky. You had me in the wrong direction. I want to say good morning to my guest, Alicia Wallace from Equality Bahamas. Good morning, Alicia. How are you?
Good morning, Aaron. I'm well.
Good, good. So let's do our 16 days of activism wrap-up. Not only was Equality Bahamas's campaign full of activities during the 16 days of activism, but there was tons of stuff going on throughout the country and definitely across New Providence. But let's take a brief look at Equality Bahamas and their 16 Days of Activism campaign.
Well, as you mentioned, we had lots of events. We had a lineup of 10 events, and all of them brought together speakers from different regions. We had great representation from the Caribbean. And we had a lot of great discussions that were very nuanced, you know, tapped into a lot of the questions that come up again and again and again. And we had a specific focus on femicide, which proved to be a very interesting topic for a lot of people and helped people to understand why we're putting our focus in particular on women and girls and other people in situations of vulnerability. But I think it was great for people who joined the events to hear the perspectives of people who are working in different areas with different areas of expertise, but also in different geographic locations to see how we have similarities as well as some differences in the ways that we're experiencing and witnessing gender-based violence.
Absolutely. Since we last spoke, I've just been sort of overwhelmed with stories, in particular from women, about the types of violence that they experience, you know, generally, and sometimes it's just a sort of one-off event. For many women, it's sort of a regular experience of violence. And in particular, you know, a number of women have said, like, I felt the need to share this with you, especially hearing people call into the shows and text into the shows saying that, oh, y'all women are exaggerating, you stretching the truth, all of these things aren't happening. And in response to people calling in and saying, well, what about the men? What about the men? You not talking enough about the women. So, like, if I share one story, this is purely anecdotal. When I say it's anecdotal, it is something that somebody shared with me. It has not been officially documented. It has not been sent to any official government complaints mechanism, right? But the woman shared her personal story and stories of other women who are migrants seeking work here, right? And who are working here, who deal with constant harassment from men and women in uniform. Harassment of a sexual nature, KK? And I know this to be true because I had one of them responsible Bahamian professionals in uniform push up on me in a business establishment shortly after I witnessed them push up on a migrant woman who worked there.
Yeah, these stories are really important to share. And like you mentioned, when you talk about these things, when people hear these conversations happening, and in particular, when they hear their responses, I think it kind of moves them to share some of the stories that they've been able to parse for themselves. But another thing that's happening is that people are recognizing some of their experiences that they found troubling or uncomfortable. They're finding the word violence. They're able to put a name to it and understand what it is that really happened to them. Many different forms, from domestic violence and intimate partner violence to even sexual violence like rape. You know, there are so many people that don't know exactly what happened to them because they've learned that these particular acts of violence have to look a certain way or only happen to a certain kind of people or only perpetrated by certain types of people and not people who are in relationship to you, or people have conflated, you know, violence with discipline. Mm-hmm. And things like that. So it's a great example of how important it is for us to talk about these things and to be able to share our stories, because it enables other people to not only share their stories, but to face some of the things that have happened to them, recognize their own trauma, and hopefully get support.
Right. And like, when we say women and girls are experiencing violence, let's just talk briefly, like, what types of experiences are we talking about?
So many different kinds of experiences. Right. So we're talking about violence in the home. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a conversation yesterday with someone about the way that we sort of learn how to be. Uh-huh. And thinking about various different experiences as, you know, discriminatory and forms of violence, like being a girl child who is made responsible for a household. Mm-hmm. You know, made responsible for siblings, both older and younger, because you're the girl child. So you need to make sure that everyone eats. You need to make sure that everyone is home on time. You know, all these kinds of duties that are put on girls because they're supposed to grow up to be mothers and wives. And so we need to train them from now, you know, because they were made for this. They were born for this. Right. So we're starting with things like that. And, you know, having adults that have never really had a real childhood because they've had all these adult responsibilities. And it goes all the way to intimate partner violence, domestic violence. When you grow up in this kind of structure, this kind of society where there are these expectations of you, you think that you have to then perform them. And if you don't perform them well and you are, you know, quote unquote, disciplined, which actually is an experience of violence, you don't process it in that way. So you have people who are caught entire lives and may not be able to recognize it, which is its own form of violence. When you're not able to name what's happening to you, you're not able to report it because you don't know it's something that needs to be reported. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are people who know that what they're experiencing is wrong, but they don't really know how to get help, or they try to get help and the people who are supposed to help don't really show up for them, right, or turn them away or blame them for what has happened and make them responsible for finding the solution.
Or sort of laugh and shrug off the duty of care, like the responsibility, yeah, to deal with it. And so I remember talking with some women and, you know, the girl is saying, look, this boy, he felt me up in the dance, you know, and I went to go and find somebody to report it to. And the people around me were like, you ain't never been to Junkanoo, eh? You don't know what to expect when you come to the club, eh? And it's like, wait, hold on, wait. What? Are you even refusing to acknowledge the act as violence? I think a lot of people experience that as well and then just sort of block it out. Because how do you deal with something that the people around you keep trying to invisibilize?
Right. Either you're going to keep facing that kind of pushback and rejection, or, you know, the other option is to kind of pack it away somewhere and pretend like it's not happening.
Now, I have a text here. Somebody says, have the 16 days ended or is today the 16th day? Well, no, the 16 days ended on the 10th of December, which was Human Rights Day. But not all of Equality Bahamas' activities ended on that particular day. Not just that, I wanted to give them some time to make an assessment of their campaign before we did the wrap-up. And so I wanted to ask, to follow up that text, what is the status of the campaign or the call to ratify ILO C-190? And can you remind us what ILO C-190 is?
Yes, so the International Labor Organization's Convention 190, mm-hmm, is focused on eliminating violence and harassment in the world of work. Mm-hmm. And that has so far been ratified by countries. There were three very early countries to adopting. One of them is Fiji. And we were able to join a conversation with a number of advocates and organizations that have been working on ratification of C-190, including someone, Nalini Singh, in Fiji, where it has been ratified. Fiji was one of the first three countries, as I mentioned. And we were also able to join a conversation with ILO Caribbean, with a number of people from the region. Barbados seems as though it is getting ready to ratify. And there was also representation from the tripartite council, like a, mm-hmm, conglomerate, I guess, of unions here in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And they said that they have submitted to cabinet. So they are trying to push for ratification of C-190 as well. And so the union's participation in this is going to be really important.
Right. And so we have a massive tourism industry here. Does Convention 190 speak to and address violence in the workplace, in the world of work? Does it speak to dynamics in the tourism industry where a hotel worker may be experiencing violence, not from their employer or from their co-workers, but from a tourist or a visitor to the country?
So it's not that specific in terms of sectors or industries, mm-hmm, but it does cover a number of areas. So it looks at violence and harassment occurring in the course of work. Mm-hmm. So it would be included there. So it's looking at, I think it's Article 3 that looks at what is happening in the workplace, mm-hmm, what is happening in places where the worker gets paid or takes breaks or uses changing facilities, washrooms, work-related trips and travel and training. So it's quite broad, definitely includes anything that's happening at work and then in the broader world of work.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is so important. I've seen countless stories on WhatsApp, and they're sharing text messages between potential employers, and the employers are flat out, straight out, overtly telling them, well, mm-hmm, if you want to be a part of this organization, you need to be prepared to have sex with me as your employer. I've seen, yeah, countless conversations like that. And those are the ones bold enough to document it. And so we know,
right, to put it in a text.
Right. We know for generations, women have been dealing with this. But we also know that men are dealing with it, both from female and male perpetrators.
Yes. this seems to be a pretty widespread experience. It's affecting a lot of different people. We know that it disproportionately impacts particular groups of people, and it seems to worsen when unemployment rates are high. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have more skin in the game. You know, you are the view is that you're do anything. So I'm going to use that to my advantage as an employer and as a predator.
Absolutely. And so those are, you know, sort of the two sectors I think about. I think about young women, women who are marginalized from employment, who are being coerced into giving sexual favors for employment. And I think about women in tourism, in hotels, particularly women in the casinos, having to engage with visitors to the establishment, whether local or foreign, because sometimes it's just about the position that the workers perceive to be in. But there's this thin line that people don't understand, the difference between selling an experience that's produced by my body and selling my body.
Yes, that distinction does not seem to be clear. And, you know, people are sort of sold this idea that they can come here and if they spend enough money, they can get whatever they want and they can get away with anything that they want. And it's difficult as the worker, as the employee who is providing this service, to draw a line, because for the most, you not compromise your tips. How do you not compromise your position? Because you don't know if you refuse someone's advances or you tell them outright that what they're doing is sexual harassment or wrong or unacceptable, what are they then going to say to your manager? Are they going to make up something? You know, it's a very precarious situation to be in, where it feels as though defending yourself is a risk. Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a huge risk that you could lose your job, you can lose your livelihood.
Right. And what a horrible place to be in when you feel you can't rely on your employer to maintain a safe work environment, nor to understand what your actual world of work is, right?
Yes, and to respond to your needs and your reports. And in so many cases, there aren't people equipped to receive these reports and respond in ways that are helpful.
Right. And, you know, we often talk about the harassment that young and girls experience on the jitneys, but we never stop to think or to ask ourselves, are older women also experiencing these types of engagement and this type of violence on their way to work using the public transportation system?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, older women are also a group that is disproportionately impacted by gender-based violence and by many societal issues, you know, because of the vulnerability there. Mm-hmm. And interesting that you bring up the jitneys or the buses, because that is also included within the ILO's C-190, because it recognizes travel, the commute, mm-hmm, to and from work as a part of the world of work.
And I mean, this is an aside. This is Erin Green talking here, not Equality Bahamas or Alicia Wallace, you know. But imagine we live in a society where countless young women tell this of their experiences of being molested, harassed and molested on the bus. And our response has been, if you don't feel safe, then you must need to go buy a car.
In the Caribbean. That is the response.
Absolutely. That is problematic and unacceptable. However, that's my music, Alicia. I got to go to a break. I've been working my producer hard today. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the recent comments by Senate President Lachelle Adley. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I hope you're enjoying the discussion. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back.
Security is a challenge for many. Now in a pandemic, many more are unsure of their next meal. Through their Feed 5000 program and a $20,000 donation, AML is working to ensure that everyone has a meal for the holidays, and they're inviting you to help. 19th, visit any Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, or Domino's in Nassau or Freeport, and Exuma Markets in Georgetown to donate and help feed a family in need this Christmas. No amount is too small. Remember, we're all in this together.
See something? Say something. Call Crime Stoppers Bahamas in Nassau, 328-8477. That's 328-TIPS. Or from the Family Islands, 242-300-8477. That's 242-300-TIPS. Be safe and happy holidays, Bahamas, from the directors of Crime Stoppers Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9. FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green, and my guest joining me today is Alicia Wallace for 16 Days of Activism Wrap-Up. Alicia, earlier this week, Senate President Lachelle Adley denounced marital rape and challenged legislators to act immediately to protect victims of domestic violence and put an end to gender-based violence. Quote, the status quo must be challenged and changed for the better, she said in the Senate. Quote, the best time to enact, amend, and enforce legislation is now. Enough is enough. Close quotes. So let's imagine this sentiment is shared by the Senate President's colleagues in Parliament and Cabinet. What legislation do we need to enact? Which existing laws should we amend and how? And how do we better enforce laws and policies to address and reduce gender-based violence and domestic violence?
Those are a lot of questions, Erin. as you know, during the 16 Days campaign and beyond, Equality Bahamas has been calling for compliance with CEDAW, the Convention for the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination, commonly referred to as a Women's Bill of Rights. And we've been every day highlighting one recommendation from the concluding observations, which is a document that the CEDAW committee produces after a review session. So after the government of the Bahamas goes before the committee and says the progress that it's made, and it's questioned in a constructive dialogue, and the committee also hears from representatives of NGOs. They point out some of the gaps. They, of course, celebrate some of the progress that's been made, and then they point out things that need to happen next. And the concluding observations of 2018 really lay out priority areas for legal reform. I mean, that includes new legislation as well as amendments that need to take place. And one of them is the acceleration of adoption of a comprehensive draft bill on gender-based violence, which is supposedly in draft already, in the works, but sitting somewhere. So that needs to be adopted immediately. We need a comprehensive bill that is addressing gender-based violence in particular, because right now, different portions of different laws to address these issues, and everything is not covered. So we really need this bill for multiple reasons. One is to make it clear to the general public, to legislators, to law enforcement, that gender-based violence is a specific issue that needs a specific response, and we need to treat it as a public issue, a public health crisis, in fact.
All right, so
stick
a pin right there. I got a text here. According to the Inter-American Development Bank, statistics show that men are more likely to be victims of emotional, sexual, and physical crime. If this issue affects both men and women, and in some instances more men in the case of emotional abuse, why is this a gender issue as opposed to just a crime issue?
So first, we'll have to talk about what gender is. And I talked a little bit about this when I was speaking about the situations or the conditions that we grew up within in the home, and this idea that girls are supposed to be a particular way because they need to grow up to be men and women who behave in a particular way, who function in specific quote unquote roles, which, you know, roles are an issue anyway. And the all of this, these actually the CEDAW committee puts it really well, where they point out that patriarchal attitudes and discriminatory, gender stereotyping, harmful gender stereotyping, underpin gender-based violence. So when we're talking about gender-based violence in particular, note the word gender. So we're talking about relations between men and women. We're not just talking about women. Mm-hmm. So you'll hear me say gender-based violence against women, because there can be gender-based violence against people of other genders. And we have to understand this as a societal issue that stems from a construct that we've built, where we've decided that men are a particular way, women are a particular way. And that in itself is a form of violence, because it's putting us in these boxes where we aren't able to access our full beings, where we're only able to perform in a way that's prescribed by, you know, who knows who, but patriarchy, these patriarchal attitudes. And that really limits us in who we can do.
Right. Like, as a man, you could cook. You could even enjoy cooking, but don't let nobody see you enjoy it. Don't have an outward expression of joy when you cook.
Like do it out of necessity and that's it.
Yeah. Because you's man.
Right.
Right.
And so we've seen, you know, the person is talking about emotional violence. I think I spoke about this before on your show, that on social media, there are these very strange conversations happening about what a man does, you know, this sort of idea of a real man. And there's this running list of things that men must not do. Mm-hmm. And if you do these things, your manhood is in question.
First of all, you can't eat popsicles and you can't eat bananas.
And I don't think you can eat ice cream. You can't use straws. You know, there are all these ridiculous things that include things like not eating dessert. You know, it's really absurd. And we can't address these issues unless we're prepared to talk about gender and prepared to talk about the way that we have created this idea that it's the same across the board everywhere, but it's not. Gender functions in different ways in different parts of the world. So you look at the Pacific, and the way that the Pacific deals with gender is completely different from the way that we deal with it here in the Caribbean, or, you know, in the West, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But the reason that we put so much focus on women and girls is because women and girls are disproportionately affected by gender-based violence and experiencing gender-based violence. We know this from the statistics that we have. We know that, you know, the number 1 in 3 is actually in question at this point, because reporting is so low.
Right.
And if we really want to get data on men's experience of gender-based violence, which a lot of men seem to be interested in, then we need men to be able to report. And if we want men to be able to report, then we have to change our ideas about masculinity.
Yeah. Now, I have a texter here that says, you and your guests, it's a good show. They're enjoying the conversation, but they're asking us to be real and acknowledge that grown men eating bananas look suspect. It don't look good. And I want to say to that person, like, but think about this. The banana is the most easily accessible free food there is out there. Imagine you telling men they can't eat bananas.
It doesn't make any sense. What looks wrong about it?
No, they're going to suggest that it looks suspect. It looks like you look like you're gay, sir, and you shouldn't eat a banana. And it's like, what? People have been eating bananas forever.
Yeah.
What you have to do is, gentlemen.
Food, and we need to get over it.
Right. You have to put on your sporting gear. Put on your football shoulder pads, your soccer cleats, and find one helmet and a glove. Put on a baseball glove, too. And before you eat a banana, otherwise, you're gay, sir. Anyway, I have some great texts I've got to get through. One text says, listen, public notice, the public libraries have been reopened. Another text says, Aaron, when I go on the bus, there are a few women I met that always ask when we going out, or you will give me that thing. They nice, so I be respectful. So what now? It's harassment, sir. You have the right to travel on the bus free of interference, free of people flirting with you, free of people thinking that you is man and all you here for is to give one. That's harassment. And if it's of a sexual nature, it's sexual harassment. And if they don't stop, then you know it's intentional. and you don't deserve it. And so, you know, at that point, we say, yes, we speak up for the men, too. Anyway, that's not important. Well, that is very important. Alicia, thank you for joining me right now. Come on, guys. These texts are hilarious. These texts are hilarious. I'm running out of time. I got a text that it says, that's not true. I just gave statistics about men being disproportionately affected, yet women are still the focus. That text, Alicia, assertion from the texter about the statistics from the Inter-American Development Bank. Where can we go to make those assessments ourselves? Where can we find these statistics?
Well, it would be great if the texter could say where they found that, because that's not something that I've seen, and it sounds very unlikely or like a misconstruing of data.
I got you. I hope you heard that response, texter. And maybe that's why women are still... It's been a heavy show. Thank you so much, Alicia, for making it light. Thank you to my producer for not cutting me off yet. It's 11 a.m., so stay tuned to 96.9 FM. Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next.